The title of today's talk is The Crown of Life, To Know Thyself. The ability to know, to have self-reflection, problem solving, letting go of ignorance and sitting still for inspiration. That's the process. The ability for self-reflection requires problem solving, letting go of ignorance and sitting still for inspiration. Self-reflection, it's analytical thinking. Go deep down into the subject, as Kripal used to say. Go deep down into the subject. And then stop. And wait for inspiration. So being able to do that means that you can do something about it. That you can actually change something if you discover something. A flower is not the plant, nor its root system. And yet, those are in the flower. And when the flower withers, a fruit with a seed for the next generation, and that seed falls to the ground and germinates. Well, it's a complicated story. But the ability to self-reflect and to analyze behavior against thought forms and belief systems is something peculiar to the human. So that's why it's called the crown of life, because it's in the human form that we can reflect on concepts, behaviors, and information, and change dynamic of what we have come to be so that we can act differently and be a different frequency of consciousness. This seems, if you get it explained a little bit like this, that, oh, yeah, maybe that is the crown of life. Other species, other things, other plants, animals, do they self-reflect? Can they self-reflect? Can they change their behavior of consciousness to that self-reflection or that inspiration? Most animals and most things, trees and that, don't sit around and think, can I move better? can I be better in the wind or the rain or whatever? Are they analyzing, changing themselves? No. They're responding to genetic or organizational behavior patterns that follow laws of behavior in maybe different situations. So a tree that has good soil will adapt to the good soil because it's genetically capable of doing it. But it's not sitting around thinking, oh, maybe I'll adapt to this good soil. It has a record from which information is pulled that allows the adaptation to automatically happen. So, let's say it gets worm infested or something like that. There's something in the genetic record of that plant that can produce an antidote to a degree and may successfully overcome the parasite. But why was the parasite attracted to the tree? Because it has a genetic record that that's a source of sustenance. So these are all records that create the behavior. We have records as well, but our behavior over time can be changed by self-reflection and deducing that something else needs to be done. Some other procedure can take place. Some other information is available, but maybe we don't have it yet, but it may dawn on us, which we call creativity, which is shutting up and getting another level of consciousness to speak in us, through us. So when we're trying to solve a problem and we're thinking about it, analyzing it, trying to find the solution, it's actually not your brain that's bringing it up. The solution is a download of information from another frequency of consciousness. So we're capable of many different frequencies of consciousness. We just get trapped in conditioning. Problem solving for a child takes a certain form in certain circumstances. But as they mature and new problems come up, there have to be changes to the dynamic of the last choice for behavior, because that last form of behavior isn't working, thank you. So we have optional behaviors if we are waiting to receive the insight for that option, this new option of behavior and understanding of things. And most often we find that when there's a problem to be solved, we're oftentimes driven to shut up and sit down and contemplate it, which changes the dynamic of the frequency of our being and our brain, which fatigues us to a degree, which makes us shut up further. We have little lapses where we go into alpha wave, brainwave, and in that place, we get a download of insight. Insight. In other words, a download of light. So if we practice, if it dawns on us that if we practice this quietude with the problem, that we may get an further insight. Where is that insight coming from? We call it insight. So somehow or other, there's a perception that it's in us, but on a different frequency. Ah. But we don't hold on to that. The insight comes, and it's on a different frequency than regular cognitive rumination or subconscious claptrap, whatever. But the insight idea is just like, oh, wasn't that great? Thank you. And we go merrily, merrily on our way. But what the Path of the Masters is about is training us to wait for insight, to cultivate frequencies of receptivity to that download of light that furthers our understanding of certain things. Until we can accept not understanding, but just simply receiving, just being a receiver, and pushing that receivership bounds out further. It's not that we have to understand it, it's that we have to receive it. So the ability to analyze to the point that we shut up and receive insight is good. And if we can cultivate a more refined level of that, which is what the Path of the Masters and meditation is all about, is that you get to a quieter and quieter and quieter frequency of interference to other layers of consciousness. You're not just one, you're not two, you're not three, you're not four. You have multiple layers of consciousness depending on how much garbage stands between you and receivership. How much pathology wants to express itself, like, you know, the imprint of throwing stuff in the garbage can. We move the garbage can and we keep throwing things where we used to have the garbage can. Or the silverware drawer, pulling out, we move the silverware drawer, things to another drawer, we keep going to the other automatically. That means you're pre-programmed. Why does a dog salivate when the dinner bell rings for? Because in Pavlovian conditioning, we realize that he would go on salivating no matter whether or not the food was presented after a while. Whether or not. Now, he couldn't figure that out, the dog. We're capable of figuring it out if we get quiet enough to get a download of insight. Hey kid, the dinner bell doesn't really mean that dinner is coming. It might mean under certain circumstances, and then we're able to analyze peripheral circumstances. It's this analysis capability. And at the same time, finally getting to the point where we realize that stillness is the final insight if our consciousness is not just focused in our navel, but is actually going to the third eye, where there is a gateway to frequencies of higher refinement of light. So, there we are. So, the crown of life is that we can do that. A tree standing is not necessarily going to be getting outrageous insights. But it will stand as it's programmed to do. It's programmed to do. It's programmed to do. And that program is, it responds to another organization that it can't change. But it can be changed when a higher consciousness brings consciousness to it. So, if someone, let's say, loves the tree, it can create a frequency of communication with the person who loves it. And in that communication, it can say, hey guy, I'm thirsty, I haven't had a drink for a very long time, there hasn't been a lot of rain. Can you bring some rain? Why do you think the Indians do rain dances? Does it bring the rain? Was the motive theirs, or was it the motive of the plant? Was it the corn in the field that was withering? That was communicating? So, because we can analyze things, that's what the gift is if we will use it. Or we get to run along on patterns that don't include the downloads of higher light consciousness. Unless we're supposed to, and as the designer of Pinocchio could pull the strings and make him behave, he could be saying, oh, I scratched my nose because I wanted to scratch my nose, and it was the puppeteer who made him scratch his nose. But his ego wanted to think he wanted to scratch his nose, because egos are like that. Egos want to take credit for everything. so that you won't know there are higher levels than your ego for information. Duh. And that's where spirituality comes in, is that because we can do self-analysis, because we can analyze situations, and because we can, after we've gathered that situation data, we shut up and wait for a download of insight. And the better we get at it, the more often we do it, the less time we spend horsing around in our ego conceptions. And we get straight to the matter. A download, please. And the source of download says, humility, please. Humility, please. Joy, faith in the downloading method. Stop thinking you're it. You're it only when it lets you be it. So, that's the struggle that man has. He may be the crown of life, but sometimes he needs to be crowned. And I don't mean just with light. Sometimes, because we're so pathologically addicted to certain thought forms, belief systems, we won't change unless we're forced to. Today on the Sunday morning show, they were showing a program of the war in Israel and with the Hamas and the Palestinians and the Jews. And there, as I have said before, Dablo and I ran into a group of people at a religious conference up in Utah, I think it was probably 5 years ago. And there was a group of people that were, part of them were Jews and part of them were Israelis and Palestinians, rather, I'm sorry, Palestinians and Israelis, and they had formed an organization of communication together where they were discussing why they were reactional to each other and how they could get over it. And what they began to see was they were humans that needed the same things, wanted the same things, had the same goals and desires, and they were surprised. They were surprised because they had been part of the resistances to each other. They had been causing the problem because they thought that the Palestinians were different than themselves if they were Jews, and the Palestinians thought the Jews were different than them because they didn't know them, because they wouldn't allow themselves to know each other. And so that organization has grown, but it's under threat now because of the war going on and it getting so advanced with so many deaths, so much trauma going on. But they still are meeting and they're still organizing, trying to gather more and more people to participate with Crusaders for Peace. They're basically just acknowledging their own ignorance and getting educated into the similarities of the other side of the group, which was beautiful to see on national TV, that it's now being recognized as a movement, an effort. So the dawning of the consciousness that they're part of the problem comes when they come face to face with the other side that is like them. And they think they are different, have had them categorized as different. And that's the same thing as the matador who thought he was a prima donna out there in the bull ring in his cute little suit with his cute little cape and his cute little sword, that he was bullying the bull, injuring the bull to make him mad, to make him see red, so that he could have him pass under the cape and look cute and fun and smart and intelligent and skillful. Whoopee. He was killing something. And the bull just sat in the middle of the ring and looked at him and thought transferred to him, why are you doing this to me? I have never hurt you. And it made the matador sit down on the edge of the ring and cry. And he couldn't go on. And so they had to bring some other hefty, unconscious person out to kill the bull. But that sacrifice, which seemed terrible, led to the matador who sat down and cried, forming an organization to stop bullfighting, and has finally done it. So it was a sacrifice, as maybe Jesus was a sacrifice, to bring about another level of consciousness, another way of going beyond the ego conditioning. Well, I go back to our friend Rabia of Basra in Iraq from the 700s, way back in the 700s. And she had been, let's say, captured or lost or as a young child, and she ended up being sold to a brothel at around 80 years old. And for some over 40 years, she had to do hard labor. She was put in the brothel to be, let's say, taken advantage of. But at some point, someone purchased her freedom from the brothel, and she began to do extraordinary amounts of time of meditation, and she became enlightened. We don't have all the history, but it helps putting my hands on a pot, on a broom, in a wash pail. I tried painting, but it was easier to fly slicing potatoes. The idea of creativity, deliberately for creativity's sake, is sometimes pushing the boundaries of wanting downloads of insight that don't take you in the direction of trying to find out the solace, the truth of life, because one is trying to create a musical sound or a painting or some other kind of skill, and it's tied to that skill. But when you're doing something that is, quote, quote, kind of mundane, putting my hands on a pot, putting it on a broom, in a wash pail, it brings to the consciousness that this is something that is easier to do, so I can say Simran or the charged names of God while I'm doing it, and therefore it allows a transcendence of consciousness that doesn't require greater skill. So, but it was easier to fly slicing potatoes. Do we fly by slicing potatoes? Doing simple tasks? That's where saying the charged names of God while doing simple tasks becomes valuable, because it doesn't take as much concentration. You can bless the potato that you're slicing, but at the same time, you can be addressing God in the slicing, bringing God's loving focus into the slicing, which I think the potato prefers. Okay. Love is the perfect stillness. And the greatest excitement and most profound act, and the word almost as complete as his name. Love is his name. Love is his name, the perfect stillness. So when we get clear to be in the, let's say, entrancement of love towards Master Power, God Power, Spirit, the knowledge that there is layers of knowledge beyond our cognition, layers that we begin to respect rather than reject. If we want to be an ego consciousness, we're rejecting divine consciousness. Think about that. It's a rejection. It's not the capacity to understand at that time. We are not in the capacity to understand, just like the Jewish fellow was not in the capacity to comprehend that the Palestinian was just like him, that he wanted to kill the Palestinian because he had a misconception. And when he was forced to face the reality that this Palestinian was just like him, it broke him down and he cried. Just like the bull broke down the matador. I'm conscious. I have not hurt you. Why are you doing this to me? So that love frequency is the door, is a door. And if we remember that love has many layers to it, joy, faith, abundance, cessation of misconception. If we love something, we change our conception of it. It's like sometimes when you buy an object because it's attractive or you need it or something, and then it sits there day after day, you either use it or see it, or and there's something about it that kind of talks to you. And that talking to you goes like, oh, But if you have a plant and you say to the plant, dear plant, I get distracted. Please talk to me loud enough to call me to do something for you that you need when you need it. It will. It will say, water me. I'm thirsty. Because you have respected its consciousness and you have opened a frequency line to it. It could have been sitting there and you wouldn't have respected it, so you couldn't hear it. But when you respect it and open a line of respect, it can use that line of frequency to talk to you, to help you with its needs. So, yeah, if we want to create something, that's one thing. And that can be a download of insight in creativity. If we're, let's say, slicing potatoes, it's a communication we can set up with the potato that we love it, and that can tell us that, oh, if we're loving God and we are loving the potato, we're bringing the potato love of God, we're in the circle of love. There we are. Well, because theoretically we're the crown of life, there's a greater responsibility to use the potential that's there and allow it to develop because we don't ignore it. We can't make it develop, we can allow it to develop. In the sense that we get ourselves listening to the fact that there's more to us than our ego, there's more to us than our biological brain, there's more to us than our genetics. And then we can begin to give credit to other things. But until we can give some credit to ourselves as being capable of self-reflection, analysis, quietude, and begin to ask, what is love? Is it a frequency? Is it an intelligence? Is it a spirit? So these things are what we need to contemplate. And we can. And so if we have been given that great gift, maybe a gift has a gift tax. You have the gift, will you use the gift? Maybe we just have to be kicked in the rear end enough. And as I have said many times, many places, when Saul was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians because he was a Greek Jew in Turkey, actually, and he resented the fact that Christianity was beginning to take form, and he was a Jew, and he wanted to kill Christians. And he was marching towards Damascus to kill Christians, followers of Christ's teachings. And he was obsessed. That obsession tied him to the frequency of Jesus. And that frequency transmuted his brain and his ego and brought him light, and he was instantaneously a follower of Christ. He had to be brought by obsession of hate, but he was obsessing on the right frequency. It was a trick. Tricky God. Tricky God power. We obsess on certain things and then we're surprised that we're converted. And that's what's happening to these Jewish and Palestinian people who have obsessed their hatred towards each other, has brought them to the frequency of love of each other. And they don't quite yet recognize it, as their massive obsession of hate and resentment made them obsess with the frequency of the other, which opened them to finally getting a download of their love. Interesting. So nothing is that as appears to be, folks. Hate may be the shortest route to love. Why do we see so often in these corny love stories that there's always this bantering back and forth, and, you know, it starts out as a competition and a not liking the other person, and they torment each other and they torment each other, and then they fall in love. Nobody's getting this. They're obsessed with a frequency that they're going to love. But they are obsessed with hating it until they love it. Same thing with God. Mad at God. You're mad at God. God took everything from me. You hear that all the time. And then there's this miraculous experience, sometimes an out-of-body experience, sometimes just a epiphany. And they're on the other side of the fence. It took them to the other side of the fence. The perfect stillness. Okie dokie. Food for contemplation.